So at this time, we're going to have our dear sister, Adelaide Fowler, give us an opening prayer.
Okay, sisters, let us go to our Heavenly Father and pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus with a humble heart and a bowed head. First of all, I want to thank you for your darling son, Jesus, who died for us to have eternal life. Father God, I want to thank you for your grace and your mercy, your love, your gentleness, and your forgiveness. Lord, thank you for giving all of us sisters the opportunity to come together and hear your word and study your word. Guide us to apply what your word says to us. Heavenly Father, have mercy upon Sister Dorothy Jenkins. Give her the remembrance of the things that she studied. Guide her to present it in a way that we will understand. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your glory. And Heavenly Father, I want to ask you if there's any sin, not if there's any. Let me just say it like this, Lord. Forgive me for all of my sins and my trespasses, knowing and unknowingly, the things I've thought, said, and done that's contrary to your will. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of the sisters of the admin of the LPWs. Bless them and their families. Bless the sick and the shut-in in the Church of Christ and all over the world. And Heavenly Father, I come to you and I'm asking you to have mercy upon us. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Adelaide, for that powerful opening prayer. Now at this time, we will have our scripture reading by our dear sister, Cheryl D. Anderson.
Good evening, LPW family and our honored guests. Our scriptural references are taken from the English Standard Bible Version, beginning with the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 19. The book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 19. And it states, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And now let us examine the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. The book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And it states, "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. May the Lord add a blessing to the believers and hearers of his word. Amen."
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Cheryl, for boldly reading God's word on tonight. Now we're going to have a song praise by our dear sister, Lottie Holcomb.
Hello, sisters. I'll be singing A Soul Winner for Jesus by request. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He does so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Christ my Lord. Oh, let me be saved. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus. He's done so much for me. I want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ, that they his grace may know. I want to live for Christ ever and do his blessed will, because he loves me so. a soul winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Jesus. Oh, let me be saved. A soul winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Jesus. He's done so much for me. I want to be a soul winner till Jesus calls for me to lay my burden down. I want to hear him say, servant, you've gathered many sheep. Receive a shining crown. A soul winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Christ my Lord. Oh, let me be saved. A soul winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Christ the Lord. He's done so much for me. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Lottie, for that beautiful song, A Soul Winner for Jesus. That's actually my first time hearing that song, and it was beautiful. Thank you so much, sister. All right. So at this time, we're going to have our introduction of the speaker. And this is going to be done by our dear sister, Lisa McIntyre.
Good evening, sisters, and thank you, Sister Katrina. It is my pleasure to introduce our speaker for tonight. Our speaker for tonight is Sister Dorothy Rouse Jenkins. She is one of our administrators for the Lady Prayer Warriors of the Church of Christ. She is no stranger to our Friday night Bible series, having spoken on several topics. Sister Jenkins is a retired educator. She has taught in the Georgia Public Schools for over 33 years. She is a dedicated member of the Renaissance Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia, where she serves on the Garden Ministry, working with new converts. She sings with the Golden Voices of Renaissance and has been in the chorus for more than 35 years. Sister Jenkins will celebrate on March the 10th, 2022, her marriage to Brother Johnny Jenkins for 50 long years. She has two adult children, a daughter, Callie, and a son, Calvin. She has two grandchildren, a grandson, Amir, 18, and a granddaughter, Ryan, who's 11. Sister Jenkins' favorite scripture is Proverbs 31 and 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Sisters, I introduce to some and present to others our speaker for the evening, Sister Dorothy Rouse Jenkins.
I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He does so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. I want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ, that they his grace may know. I want to live for Christ ever and do his blessed will because he loves me so. I want to be a soul winner till Jesus calls for me to lay my burdens down. I want to hear him say, servant, you gather many sheaves, receive a starry crown. Good evening, sisters. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so delighted to have this opportunity once again to present a lesson from God's holy and divine word. I'm appreciative to our administration for giving me the approval to kick off this month, March, Friday night Bible series, in which we are laboring under the theme, Marching with a Mission. I would be remiss if I didn't say thanks to all of our program participants, our most gracious host, Sister Katrina Stafford, Sister Adelaide Fowler for our opening prayer, Sister Cheryl D. Anderson for our scripture reading, Sister Lottie Holcomb for that beautiful song praise, Sister Lisa McIntyre for that wonderful, wonderful introduction, and we want to thank Sister Elizabeth Francis in advance, who will do our closing prayer. Sisters, if you have your copy of God's Word, I invite you to come with me to the following two passages of Scripture, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, and Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. I will be reading from the English Standard Version to lay the foundation for our lesson. Again, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, and Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And the scripture reads, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.' Thus goes the reading of God's holy and divine word." Sisters, what a marvelous, marvelous theme we are embarking upon during the month of March. Marching with a mission. Sisters, how many of us know that we are Christian women marching with a mission, and we have been given our marching orders by the Master himself to reach out to save all that is lost in a world that is so full of darkness and sin? To march with a mission is to march with a designed purpose. No longer can we leave the mission of saving the lost just to our brethren. Our mission is infused in who we are and in everything we do as Christians. It's our foundation on which we build. It's a reality check on whether we are following the path set by Jesus. On this march, sisters, we will find that there is no discrimination of gender or sex when we have been purposely driven by God, marching with a mission. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, and Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, these two passages of Scripture are known as the Great Commission. At the time of these writings, Jesus had risen from the grave and had come unto the mountains of Galilee, where he had sent word that he wanted his disciples to meet with him there. At the time of our text, Jesus appeared before the 11, saying to them that all power had been given unto him in heaven and the earth. At this time, he gave the Great Commission to go, teach, and baptize those who would believe the gospel. To address our theme, Marching with a Mission, I would like to speak to you on the topic, Marching with a Mission, Seeking and Saving the Lost. Marching with a Mission, Seeking and Saving the Lost. Sisters, how do we put our mission into action? In presenting this lesson, Marching with a Mission, Seeking and Saving the Lost, we will explore first the command. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we will examine the demand and the urgency of Christ's command. Thirdly, we will be looking at the requirements and the responsibility of Christ's command. Fourthly, we want to look at the application of Christ's command. And fifthly, we will examine the reward we receive when we obey Christ's command. Now let's begin. Sisters, the Great Commission is a command given by Christ to every Christian to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This command is specific, and it is a personal one. Every Christian woman can be a woman marching with a mission. My particular function as it relates to our mission may differ from your function, but regardless of the function, our ultimate goal as women are marching is to be obedient to the command of our Lord. Embedded within our lesson, marching with the mission, seeking and saving the lost, is the personal, individual responsibility of each woman today to do all that she can in carrying out the mission of the church, which is to evangelize, to teach, or to preach the soul-saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does it really mean for us to be women marching with a mission? This lesson will also seek to answer this question by, number one, examining biblical principles that are consistent with God's original plan and design for woman, even today. And number two, by emphasizing the fact that the Great Commission applies to each Christian, women inclusively, who are required not only to submit to the gospel, but to proclaim it as well. Sisters, the first hint of women having a teaching role in the church economy was given by Peter on the day of Pentecost. Biblical history records the fact that women were employed as teachers of the gospel in the life of the early church. Priscilla, along with her husband, Aquila, was involved in instructing the eloquent Apollos more accurately in the way of the Lord, Acts 18:26. The evangelist Philip had four daughters who prophesied, 1 Corinthians 11:15. Older Christian women were responsible to teach younger women the duties of domestic demeanor, Titus 2:3-4. Although women function as teachers in the early church, it is equally clear that their instructive capacity was restricted or limited. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, Paul required that women, in a certain sense, remain quiet in the church assembly. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he declared that the woman may not teach in a situation during which she acts as an authority over the man, 1 Corinthians 12:2. Now let's explore our scriptural text. Sisters, we want to examine the following five major points of interest or observation. Number one, the charge or the command given by Jesus in the Great Commission. Number two, the demand and the urgency of the command. Number three, the requirements and the responsibilities detailed and set forth in Christ's command. Number four, the application of the command to go therefore and make disciples. And number five, the reward of obedience to the command given by Jesus in the Great Commission. Come with me, sisters, and let's consider the first point of interest or the observation, the command. Sisters, do you not know that the majority of Christians today, and I'm sure of us here today, do not realize that the command to go is personal, it's individual, it is an admonition. Indeed, it is a command directed to every child of God to go and to share in declaring the soul-saving message of the gospel to every creature. Therefore, we need to understand that our decision to go and not to go is neither optional nor negotiable. Because, sisters, whether we realize it or not, our own soul salvation is dependent upon our going and our teaching. God's imperative to go and make disciples of all nations makes it essential that we be concerned about others, those who are hopelessly lost in the darkness of sin. For too long, we have seemed to be isolated and insufficiently concerned about the world and its needs. The challenge of the command to go and to teach demands that if we are going to be women marching with a mission, seeking and saving the lost, that we prepare ourselves to meet certain challenging responsibilities of education, knowledge, and understanding, 2 Peter 3:9. Sisters, why the demand and urgency of women proclaiming the good news of salvation? statistics show that approximately every minute there are 180 souls departing this life, most of them unprepared. Working to save them that are lost will be like working against a time bomb. Time is running out for many at each tick of the clock. Perhaps many would be receptive to the truth if someone would only care enough to teach them. One of the saddest verses recorded in the Bible, sisters, is found in Psalms 142. The psalmist said, "I looked upon my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No one cared for my soul." Sisters, each Christian woman who accepts the challenge to take a new step of faith and become a soul winner will have answered the charge or the command to go and teach all nations. I believe that there is something we all can do, regardless of our age, education, state of health, working hours, or any other circumstances. We can tell somebody about Jesus, the Christ who has touched our lives. How many of us can testify that Jesus has touched our lives? In the words of an old familiar hymn, can we tell the world that we were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, verily deeply stayed within, seeking to rise no more? But the master of the sea heard our despairing cry. From the waters he lifted you and he lifted me. Thank God for a loving Savior who was willing to die for the sins of the world. Sisters, how many of us today can testify that the master reached way down and he touched you and he touched me? If so, we need to say thank you, Jesus, and then reach out to those who are lost and seeking deep in sin. As Christian women, we share in our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. We must begin to touch the lives of people who know not this Jesus the Christ. We must get people to listen to us and to respect our lives. But we cannot expect this to happen, sisters, if we are not sincerely following Christ. You know, it's a true saying that we can only bring others as far as we have gone ourselves. Sisters, we must be first committed to Christ. He must be number one or the first in our lives. Sisters, I want to reiterate the fact that we can't begin marching with a mission if we have not gone the distance ourselves. We can't lead souls to Christ if we ourselves are distant from him. Now I know, sisters, we all have close relationship with souls that are lost. For some of us, it may be our spouses, our mothers, our sisters, our children, our fathers, our brothers, or even our friends. Sisters, whatever the relationship, I want us to know today that people are hurting out there. They are physically and spiritually hungry. They are confused religiously. They are living in drug-infested environments and dysfunctional homes. Sisters, people out there need to know today that we were out there, hopelessly lost in sin. People need to know that we have been touched by the life's many ups and downs, the many trials and tribulations of life. And then, and only then, will they begin to listen to us. Sisters, being able to quote scriptures from the Bible is good, and I really admire those sisters who can. But to show people, to demonstrate through our everyday lives that we know the man from Galilee, we know how he calmed the raging seas in our lives, if we have been touched by the master's hand, sisters, we ought to tell somebody today that we have been there. People wandering out there in a world of darkness today need to know that this gospel we have can and will transform their lives. Someone may be asking, well, how do we know this? Sisters, we know this because the Bible tells us, and such were some of you. We need to stop going around acting as if our slate has always been white as snow. Some of us, if we would, could tell some stories. We know that we have not always been saved. Have we, sisters? A living example is what the world needs to see. a living example is far better than the words we say, because you know what? Words are cheap. People need to see Christ in us and the way we handle adversities when they come into our lives. If people around us see that we are falling apart at the seam and splitting all over the place, we can't keep it together to see our way through faith. Guess what? Sisters, I don't think the world wants to follow us. We simply cannot lead where we have not gone. What does it mean to us, sisters, to be margined with a mission? Webster defines a mission as a ministry commissioned by a religious organization to spread its faith or to carry on humanitarian work, a task or function assigned or undertaken. Sisters, Christ, the master teacher, has given us our marching orders, our mission. He tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:19. Sisters, we have been commissioned or given our command. Christ is specific in the task or function he has assigned to each one of us. All we need to do is to be about our master's business, which is going out and teaching those that are lost so that they can be saved. But before we begin to go and to teach, sisters, there are some requirements and some responsibilities of the Great Commission. Let's pause for a brief moment and give consideration to Christ's command. Go therefore. What does this mean? It means, sisters, each one must go. It is a personal command. It's individual. And teach all nations. This requires each one to teach one. From this verse of our text, we derive the expression personal work, personal teaching, or personal evangelism. Sisters, since teaching is involved, it is common sense to know that we must have a plan and a purpose. Sisters, it's like being a school teacher. We wouldn't walk into a classroom without our lesson plan, which will include our objectives, what it is we want to get across. This is equally true, sisters, when it comes to marching with a mission. We must have a plan and a purpose. Each Christian is admonished to study, to obtain knowledge, to be able to teach God's word. I stop by to tell us that the power is in the word. It's not in me, and it's not in you. It is God's word that saves us from our sin. Sisters, the number one requirement is obedience to the Great Commission. We must heed Christ's command to go and to teach. We must rid ourselves of the popular misconception of the phrase, if I cannot go, I'll send someone in my place. You know, sisters, I grew up hearing this statement a lot, but I never thought too much about it until I really began preparing for this lesson. Now, it's clear to me that we are not simply told either to go or to sin, but we are commanded to go, and that command, sisters, cannot be obeyed by proxy. It can only be obeyed in person unless one is physically unable or mentally incapable or both. The obligation is to serve God as an individual herald of the gospel. Therefore, to go or not to go is neither optional nor negotiable. It is almost unnecessary, sisters, to state that we cannot teach a person something we ourselves do not know. Sitting down skimming our way through God's word will not suffice. By studying God's word, it is the only way we can be assured that we can teach the depths of his wisdom. Sisters, studying is hard work, and it takes self-discipline. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul tells Timothy to study to show himself approved of God. Likewise, sisters, we have to study to be able to teach others. A third requirement of the Great Commission for the Christian woman marching with the mission, seeking and saving the lost, is she must have the ability to teach God's word to others. Each woman is a teacher in some capacity, whether she recognizes the fact or not. We are teaching something every time we come in contact with another person. Too long, sisters, have we held the idea that to be a teacher, we must stand before a class. Certainly, this is a most important phase of instructed in God's way. We teach by the influence of our lives. We teach privately to one or more people, or we may stand before a class. Each method or approach is quite valuable. And when it comes to winning souls to Christ, it takes a combination of all of them. Since we are required, sisters, to teach God's word, we need to know that the responsibility of teaching God's word is not up to questioning. Too many of us tend to have the attitude of let Mary or Susan do the teaching. Who has the responsibility of teaching God's word, sisters, is a question that has already been answered, or the question has been eliminated with Jesus' command to go, therefore, and teach all nations. And given the Great Commission in our text, Jesus put the teaching on an individual basis. Each disciple was given the command to go and to teach. They did not go as a group and have one serve as the instructor. No, sisters, it wasn't anything like that. It was a personal matter. Paul, in his writing to the Hebrew Christians, admonished them for still being students when they ought to be teachers, Hebrews 5:12. I want us to know, sisters, that the Apostle Paul was not getting on the preacher, the elders, or the deacons. He was speaking to each individual Christian. By reading this passage of Scripture, we can see that there should come a time in each Christian life when we must be teachers. Sisters, God does not reach souls in a miraculous way today. In establishing the church, Christ sets in motion the machinery by which his word and his will should be taught, to the extent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, Ephesians 3:10. Sisters, the church is the instrument through which the lost might learn what God wants or requires. Since we are the church, we are the living stones, the individual. Then we see that the responsibility to reach others is enjoined upon every person who has been baptized in Christ. This means both males and females, each Christian must teach. Our responsibility then would be proportionate to our God-given talents and abilities. But remember, sisters, the one talent person must use her one talent. Sisters, if we have been blessed by the Master's touch, we ought to use our talents and ability to reach out and save those that are lost, marching with a mission, seeking and saving the lost. Now that we have been given our marching orders, sisters, to go and to teach, someone may be asking, are there limitations placed on women teachers? Very good question. So glad we've asked. Since we recognize the fact that women must be teachers, it is very important that we verify the circumstances under which women may instruct or teach. Sisters, does God limit our activities in the Spirit? If so, what are these limitations? The Bible gives us many examples of women who taught God's way, and from these we find that he does expect us to fill a place in his work. In the Old Testament, sisters, we remember how Miriam led women in praise to God. It seemed to be her special duty to instruct them in what God wanted. And perhaps we remember, sisters, during the period of the Judges, God allowed Deborah to serve in the capacity of the prophetess, Judge. And later under King Josiah, God spoke to the people through Huldah, another prophetess and teacher. Our examples, sisters, are not limited to the Old Testament, but we have examples also from the New Testament. The first woman teacher mentioned in the New Testament is Anna. Sisters, remember, Anna was a prophetess who was in the temple at the time Mary and Joseph brought baby Jesus in for the rite of purification. She recognized Jesus as Redeemer, and from that time, it is said that she spoke to him to all who were looking for the Messiah. Anna had found the promised one and spent her life teaching others about him. Perhaps the most familiar woman teacher of God's word is Priscilla. Over in the book of Acts, the chapter is 18, verses 24 through 26, the story is told that when Apollo came to Ephesus to preach, he was right on nearly everything, but needed further teaching concerning John's baptism. Apollo did not understand that John's baptism was no longer valid after Christ's baptism. The Bible tells us that Priscilla and her husband took Apollo unto them and expounded unto him the way more perfectly. What are some observations we learn in the way Priscilla went about teaching Apollos? Our first observation, sisters, is that Priscilla did not speak in the assembly to correct the preacher. For the Lord instructs that women are not to do so in the public worship. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verses 34 through 35. Every Christian should be a teacher of God's word. We should follow Priscilla's example as a personal teacher. Number one, Priscilla worked with her husband, Aquila, in teaching the gospel. Number two, she labored with the apostle Paul at Corinth. Paul and Priscilla shared a common interest. They were both tent makers and were interested in serving the Lord. Number three, being associated with Paul provided Priscilla the valuable privilege of increasing her knowledge of God's word. A fourth requirement of the Great Commission, that is a must for women marching with a mission, seeking and saving the lost, is that the Christian woman must have a seek and find attitude for those who are lost in a world of sin and darkness. Sisters, we must have the attitude of Christ when he was here on earth. He said that he came to seek and save those that are lost. The lost are out there in the world. Are we answering the plea of Christ to go and teach the lost? Each day, sisters, we come in contact with people who are waiting to have someone to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. Sisters, if we fail to obey Christ's command when we go before him on the last day, we risk the chance of him telling us, depart from me. A fifth requirement for women marching with a mission seeking and saving the lost is commitment. Sisters, we must be committed to the task that Jesus left for us. Our duty as women is to be involved in personal evangelism, one person talking with another person about their need for salvation so that the individual may make the decision to put Christ on in the watery grave of baptism. Why do personal evangelism or personal teaching? First, Christ commands it, Matthew 28 and 19. Secondly, we teach to win souls to Christ. And thirdly, we teach to save our own souls. The sixth and final requirement that we need as women, marching with a mission, seeking and saving the lost, is personal influence. Because of our identity as God's marked out people, we have a special mission. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are to show forth the praises of him who have called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Sisters, having a proper influence is also an important responsibility to Christ's command. The lyrics of this song speaks to our influence. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. May his spirit divine, all being refined, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Sisters, if we have been touched by the beauty of Jesus, then we will look like it, act like it, and talk like it, and we will reach out to save the lost. Sisters, we must think of our influence as a channel to God, not a receptacle. The connection between the world and Christ is in our living the Christian life, because we are the light of the world. Too often, sisters, people are turned away from Christ because there's no beauty in us. Our Lord is being misrepresented to the world by us. What does the world see in us? Does the world see our preoccupation with our comfort and ease or our ambition for place and prominence? Sisters, we can see why the world becomes indifferent. There are only two spirits in this world, light and darkness. And guess what? Sisters, the connection between the two spheres of our life, is our life. The problem today is not the source, which is Christ, but with the channel, which is us. In the song, Make Me a Channel of Blessing, the songwriter asks, is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the loss of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? Sisters, if we've been touched by the Master's hand, we ought to give spiritual light to those in darkness so that they may see and come to the Savior and be saved. Sisters, I pray that this lesson has touched each one of our hearts, and I hope that we all have gotten something for it. I had to cut a lot out due to time, but I think the lesson is sufficient, and the lesson is yours. Thank you.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Dorothy, for that powerful, powerful lesson. Now we will have our closing prayer by our dear sister, Elizabeth Miller Francis.
Good night, sisters. Thank you so much, Sister Katrina, for hosting. Thank you so much for that powerful lesson, Sister Dorothy. And let's go to God in prayer. Most righteous and heavenly Father, you are the great and awesome God, the one who sit high and look low, the one who knows all things and is over all things. Father God, I pray, dear Lord, that as I come before you tonight, that you forgive me, God, of anything that I have committed knowingly and unknowingly. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Dorothy dissecting it, Lord, so that we could be able to get it in practical terms to use. And I pray, dear Lord, that we'll go away tonight, willing, God, to be an example, willing, God, to share your words, to be the salt of the earth, to be what you call us to be, Lord, so that we can be able to advance the gospel and take it to the end of the world. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, that you be those who are sick, those who are going through rough times right now, those who are hurting, those who are grieving the loss of a loved one, Father, the sick and the shut in, for those who are having mental challenges, Father, I pray for everything health EW. I pray for every single prayer leg. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will be with our admin and our assistants. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that as we go our separate ways, I pray, dear Lord, that you just help us, God, to leave this line tonight full. And as we full up, Lord, that we, Lord, will spill over to others. Father God, I love you so much. I thank you so much, God, for Jesus. And it's to your son's precious and wonderful name that I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Elizabeth, for that powerful closing prayer. Now at this time,